morning to all of you. You know, sometimes in our conversations with our friends, we hear a remark that goes something like this. Well, this guy is really living the life. You know, when we hear a remark that's made about living the life, what does it mean when someone is living his life? Well, often it is to describe a lifestyle or a stage in life when everything is going well for you, and that you are seen to have the best deal in your life. So for example, for students, you know how we have some friends, they don't study very hard, but they always do well, right? And for us, it's the reverse. We study very hard, but we don't do well. And then we will say the guy is living the life. Or it could be that you are in national service, and your training is really easy. And because of that, you are able to do your own stuff, right? You can pick up driving, etc. Or you could be at work. You're getting a good pay, you have a good work environment, and you don't really have to work very hard. And so people say, all these guys, they're living their life. And in fact, today, if you go to many of these YouTube videos, they bait you to click on it. That's why they're called clickbait, right? Where you click on it and they will tell you how you can be super rich in a super short time. But deep down inside, we know that these can't be true. Right? I mean, there are gullible individuals who fall prey to scams, right? Because they think that there is a quick way to live the life. But we all know deep down inside, living the life is really not as easy as it seems and as it appears. Somehow there is something missing. And that is what we want to explore together this morning. Now, the passage that was read for us is something that for those of us who have been in church for a while will find it very familiar. But I think it's a useful passage for us to re-examine this morning so that we can take a look at what Jesus would have us to remember and what Jesus would have us to know. Now, the conversation actually zooms in to the account that Jesus has with a group of religious teachers. All right, there was criticisms that these teachers have levied on Jesus. And so Jesus, in response to this criticism, then narrated a story. So what was read to us just now was a parable or was a story. And the intent was to address the issues that are raised by these religious teachers. But in addition to that, Jesus was also using that same parable to teach a few very important truths. And we would like to examine some of this this morning. All right? And so Jesus begins with a fictional family, and this family has a father, and the father has two sons. And the younger of the two actually approached the father and asked for his share of the inheritance. Give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, if you were there at that time listening to this story, and how this younger person is asking the father for his inheritance, you will go something like, whoa, that's really intense. Now, why do I say that? Because to ask your dad for your inheritance before he passes on, this is actually not a very nice and loving thing to do. I mean, not even today, right? Asking your dad for your inheritance before he passes on. And here we see this younger son was asking for the inheritance so that he can go off to do his own thing. Now, that's even more terrible. You know, asking for your inheritance before your dad passes on is something that is very unloving. And now you want to do that so that you can spend it off on whatever that you want, leaving your father. And you must remember that it is in a culture where family ties are valued. So you can imagine people listening to this story will go, whoa, that's really intense. All right, and this younger son took off and spent all the money that he has on the physical and material comforts in life, all the things that he likes, all the things that he enjoys. All right, Scripture describes it as riotous living. Well, the first thing I'd like us to think about is this. You know, our reality often centers around the physical and material aspects of life. Our reality often centers around the physical and material aspect of life. You know, I think it's fair to say that many of us would like to live comfortably. I think it's safe to say that, right? But of course, living comfortably means different things to different people, Right? For some, living comfortably may just be having a shelter over our heads and we are comfortable. But for others, besides the shelter, if you can have a swimming pool, it'd be nice. Just a small one. Right? These days, traveling is a big thing. Every family will plan a holiday or two, and we will try to bring our families out. And in our travel, I think it's also safe to say that we like to travel and fly comfortably. We like to stay in a place that is comfortable, and we like to do and eat the things that we like. And for some, having your own plane and your own pilot would also be nice. And for many of us, you know, you feel really good if you go to a country whose exchange rate is like maybe 1 is to 3.3, and that really favors you, and you feel really rich. And for that period of time, you are really living the life. But what I find really interesting is that many of us have this idea that if we want to live the life, we must live a full life. And to live a full life, our idea is we've got to fill it up with as many things in life as possible. Our interests, our activities, our enjoyment, our comforts. But we also notice that once you've been there, you've done that, you now have to find new places to go, you've got to find new things to do. No matter how much we fill our lives, it seems that there is still more to fill. And so I think sometimes our life is a bit like this leaking bucket. No matter how much water you put into the bucket, the water seems to be leaking away, and the more you fill, the more there's a need to keep filling it up. But it is still not full. Well, this is in some sense what life is like if we just center around physical and material aspects of life. And that is actually something that Jesus wants to illustrate in this parable, because he goes on to say how this young person, after he has gone out and spent everything that he has, the story has it such that he is now in want, in desperate need. All right? Jesus intentionally builds this story up such that it is at the point when this younger son has spent and squandered away all the money, the story has it such that the famine then hit the land. And so it is to show how this person is now in dire need. And Jesus will go on to describe how terribly in need he is in. You see, for one, this younger son has to work probably for the first time in his life. And some of us were like, good for him. It's time for him to do some work. And the Bible tells us that in this story, he is hired out to feed pigs. Now, this is not to demean lowly jobs. But in a Jewish culture, pigs are considered unclean animals. So it is another thing if you're feeding cows, feeding camels, and it's another thing if you're feeding pigs. But it shows that this young son really is so desperately in need that even in a job that requires him to feed unclean animals, he sent out to do it because he has to feed himself. And even despite all this, he is still starving because no one is feeding him. He's so hungry that he wishes to eat what the pigs are eating. You see, I think what Jesus wants to bring out in this part of the story is that our experiences tells us that there's actually more to life that is missing. It just isn't about filling your life with the material and the physical comforts in life. Because even when you do that, you find that you will still be in need. You know, I learned a few things while taking care of my parents when they were still around. Now they are both in heaven. And I've also learned a few things while taking care of my mother-in-law. You see, because of health conditions at the age that they are in, that they were at, they were chair-bound. All right? And so what they would do is they will sit and they will rest there throughout the whole day. And for my mother-in-law, she'll be on her handphone throughout the whole day. And what they will do is they will take a break by having their meals, and then maybe in the afternoon they'll take a nap. And then when they get up, they'll be on the phones again and take a meal, and then they go to bed. And then the next day, the cycle just repeats and repeats. And maybe on certain days of the week, over the weekend, we will break the routine a bit by taking them out for a meal. But you know, as I watch my parents, as I watch my mother-in-law, I can't help but to ask myself the question, what does it mean to live meaningfully and purposefully? Because it will come a time when I will be at their age. So what does it mean? Or is our life just running a set of endless cycles? You know, it's always very easy to look at others and say, you know, you're wasting your time, you're wasting your money. There are other better ways to spend time and money. I guess when we say that, we have some idea in our minds what is worth our time and what is worth our money. But I often ask myself, if I don't have a correct value, if I don't have a correct idea of worth, I could also be wasting my time and my money. What if there is something more to life that is missing? You know, in the ark, in Jesus' story, the younger son comes to awareness. There's something missing. Now, many of us, when we first read the story up to this point, we think that, the reason is because he's too extravagant. But Jesus' point really is, it's not just because he's extravagant. It's because he left the Father. Here's a thought for our consideration. You know, our life has a spiritual dimension, not just the physical and the material dimension. There is a spiritual dimension. What some of us term it as a God dimension. But if you find that maybe there's something missing, that something missing may just be a relationship with God. That there is a God-shaped hole in our hearts that only can be filled with Jesus. You know how when we were young, we used to play with this toy that has a lot of holes, and then we will break the shell into two, you know, and take out all the pegs, and then after that we try to fit the peg into the hole, right? Square peg, square hole, round peg, round hole. Some of the younger people probably don't know what this toy is, right? Because they are swiping most of the time. But you know, those of us would be familiar with this toy, and we used to teach our children square peg, square hole. Of course, when we're young, we don't bother. We just force every peg into every hole we see. And our parents say, no, we can't do that. Really, because it only fits well when you have the correct peg into the correct hole. And maybe in our lives, there is a cross-shaped hole that only can be fitted with the cross of the Lord Jesus. And so a thought for our consideration, that maybe what is missing may just be a relationship with God. You know, we now come to the climax of my sharing. Let me begin by sharing the statement first, and then after that, establish some points from Scripture. And that statement is, the loving God who designed a good life actually seeks to restore our life to its fullness. You know, we talk about how there is something missing. The next big statement for us to think about is God, who is loving, has designed a good life, and he is actually also desiring that all of us can live this full life and made it possible so that we can live the fullness of life. Now, although the story that we have been reading about focuses a lot on the sons, less on the father, there is mention of how God would seek out people who are in desperate need. And we see that in the earlier story that Jesus, the earlier parable that Jesus mentioned. Before Jesus talks about the son, he actually has an earlier parable where he talks about how God is like the shepherd and we are like sheep. And the shepherd will seek out every single one who is lost. You know, Jesus spares no effort to reach every one of us. And I'm not sure whether this morning some of you here may feel like, no, it's all right. I'm just beyond reach. My life is very different from everybody else. I don't think God will reach me. Or maybe some of you feel that you're too far away, you're too distant, or you feel that you are very insignificant, or you're very undeserving. Well, today's passage tells us in Luke 15:4 that the shepherd God would seek out every single one of us. So you are not beyond God's reach. And in reaching us, Jesus is not just trying to gain more followers. You know, in Ezekiel 34, he tells us the intent of the shepherd. In seeking out the lost sheep, what the shepherd seeks to do is to feed the flock. It's to bind up those who are broken. It's to strengthen those who are weak. So as mentioned, Jesus is not here just to have more followers so that we have more Christians. That's really not the intent. The intent is so that there is a restoration. Therefore, many of us, if we find that there's brokenness in our life, we can find healing. When there is weakness and helplessness, we can find strength. And that when you feel that you are lost, you have strayed, you can return. His intent is that we can really live the life that He has purposed, the life that is complete, the life that is full, the life that is abundant. And this is actually also being mentioned in John 10, that Jesus says, I am come that they might have life. If you and I seek to live the life, consider the life that God intends, that Jesus Christ has made possible, that we might have it abundantly, more abundantly. And the way it is done is, it's not just a gift that is given out to us without a cost. Because we have sinned against God, death is a punishment. So what Jesus did was He died on the cross for your sake and for mine, so that we can live the life. And of course, by His resurrection, we can all live this newness of life. You know, this is illustrated in many ways. And I thought that this morning I'd just like to share the gist of this whole good news of Jesus through a song that is written by a contemporary songwriter by the name of Jordan Coughlin. And this is what he says, which I think aptly describes the life of many. That I once was lost in darkest night, yet thought I knew the way. You know how some of us, we're very confident that we know what life is all about. The sin that promised joy and life had led me to the grave. We find that a lot of things that draws our attention only satisfies us for a while. But we know that it leads us to nowhere. I had no hope that God would own a rebel to your will. And if God had not loved us first, we would still refuse to accept God in our lives. But as I ran this hell-bound race, and we are indifferent to all that Christ has done, what did God do? God looked upon our helpless state and led me to see the love of God through Jesus. And I beheld God's love displayed, and Jesus who suffered in my place. And Jesus bore the wrath reserved for me. All I know is grace, which is what the choir presented this morning. It's about God's grace. And it is why, this is the reason why for Christians, non-Christians to commend, you know, why are Christians, why you all are always talking about Jesus? You know, why you are so fervent? Well, this chorus, this third stanza tells us why. Because of all that Jesus has done for us, we as Christians now would say, now, Lord, I would be yours alone and live so that all might see. The strength to follow your commands could never have come from me. And may this be the prayer of Christians here. O Father, use our ransomed lives in any way He chooses, and let my song and my boast always be God and God alone. You know, remember the illustration of the leaking bucket that I shared with you earlier? How do you have the bucket filled up? But the answer is not to fill it with more water. The answer is to fix the leaks. Fix the leaks and change the bucket. And maybe this morning it is God's word to us that in our lives, maybe some of us need some fixing. And by that I mean to have these leaks fixed up, bucket changed by God Himself, so that we can then start living the life that God intends. And so when Jesus died and Jesus was risen again, He has fixed these leaks in our life, and we can now live anew, and we can live abundantly. So Jesus will continue in this particular story by talking about how this younger son, having experienced this desperate need, come to an awareness that maybe it's time for me to return to the Father. What I find really interesting is that this son came to an awareness of the situation that he's in. And so in the parable, Jesus then described it this way, that he came to himself, or he came to his senses. Right? He's now more conscious of the fact that there is something missing. And what does he do after he is now made more aware? He then recognized that he has done something wrong. He has made a big mistake by leaving the Father. And the third thing he decided to do is, maybe it's time for me to go back to my dad. And in this part of the parable, we were told that he then started on the journey. Verse 20, he arose and came to his father. You know, my friends, this morning, those of you who are here with us, or those of you who are listening online, we may be at different stages in our lives. Maybe this morning, as you're listening to God's word, you may think that God is reaching out to you to bring you to an awareness that there is something missing in your life. But it may also be that you are already kind of aware that there is something missing, but you are not quite sure what it is. And so maybe this morning God's word to you is to tell you that what it is you have left the Father. And maybe the solution is to return to the Father. It may also be that some of us have heard this Christian message many times. In fact, you are even open to Christianity. It's just that you have not taken your first step to start on your journey back to the Father. And so God's word to you this morning is, use this occasion not just to think about the decision, but to act upon it and to start your journey home, to find back that relationship with God. And so you may be aware, you may need to come to a realization that you have sinned against the Father. You may need to make a decision today to say that I want to return to God. Or maybe for some of us, is you have all that. You need to take your first step home. You know, in this story, what Jesus did was to paint the picture of what happens when the son starts on a journey home. We are told about how excited the father was to see the son. Now, this is quite unlike the Asian father or the Singaporean father. You know, when we have a son who does something like that and he comes back, we were like, see, I told you already. Tell you what happened. You want to listen to me. Now, happy? Or maybe some of us, in the words of the Cantonese, will say, "Set up fun lah." Now you know the way back, huh? Finally. That's what the Asian's father would do, right? But not so of the father in this story that Jesus presented. That this father actually ran and embraced the son and said, "I'm so glad you are back. You know, there isn't this, I told you. There isn't this, you finally know how to come back." It's just embracing him. Now, some of you will be saying, "Oh, it's too good to be true." And I can understand that, especially when you grow up in Asia, in Singapore. This is just too good to be true. But I think it really is, because as a parent, I've lost my son before. And I think many parents here would be able to resonate with me when I talk about how we have lost our children before. You know, we were on this cruise. We were heading up to our cabins. My parents were there, the luggages were there, except my younger son. We lost him somewhere from the lobby to our cabin. And he was only 5 years old at that time. And you can imagine how panicky my wife and I were, right? That you have lost your son in a cruise ship, right? And so we then settled everybody down, told my parents, please don't go anywhere, just stay in the cabin, because we don't want to now, after bringing my son back, go look for my parents. So, okay, just stay where you are with the luggage. Help us take care of the luggage, right? And then both of us, you can imagine, like frantic couples trying to find our son. And there are only 13 decks in that ship. And so you can imagine, frantic couple running up and down. And we decided maybe the smart thing to do is to go to the lobby reception. And hopefully they can help make an announcement. And my son at 5, hopefully, can understand the announcement and make his way to find us. So at the lobby, we then asked the receptionist for help and say, we lost our son. And the receptionist say, which one? So we were actually quite comforted because we are not the only parents who lost our kids. And so they showed us a few and they say, that one, right? And you can imagine, when I saw him, the first thing I did was I just hugged him. And when I just embraced him, you know, it's such a relief to see him back. The joy that he's, to know that he's safe, he's back with us. You know, there's a little bit more to this story. And after the whole episode, we then asked our son, I said, what were you thinking about, right? And he said, I thought that I'll be spending the entire cruise at the lobby. And I'm like, don't you think that your dad and your mom will come looking for you? He said, I'm not sure. Now, that's not a compliment to my wife and I. But I told him, we will definitely come looking for you. And I want you to always remember that. And if for us, as human parents, we will go looking for our son, God, who is perfect in love and in goodness, do you think he'll do any less? And so we need to always remember that God has provided a way for us to come back. And we begin to live this life when we see our lostness and we return to this loving God. And that really is the message for us. Now, the story doesn't quite end here because it would sound like a very good, happy ending to the parable that Jesus has given, but Jesus actually wraps up with the older brother. Remember, we start off the story having two sons. And so far, our focus is on the younger one. And so now Jesus wraps up the story with the older brother. And I think it is something for all of us who are here this morning, not just friends who are invited to church, but this is a very big message for all of us who have been in church for many years. And this is where I think it is good for us to listen to what Jesus has to say. So Jesus now talks about the older son, who just come home from work. And Jesus described how the older brother was really sulky, salty, angry. And we can understand why. The older brother was crying out, unfair. Right? And I think some of the listeners there at that time would also identify with the older brother. It's unfair. He's definitely much more deserving. But the father seems to favor the younger one. But if you listen to Jesus' parable carefully, we realize that the father loves both his sons. Because when the younger son came back, we were told that the father ran and embraced him. But when the older son refused to go in, what did the father do? The father went out and entreated him. I mean, the father didn't have to do that. But the father went out and entreated him and appealed to him and says, don't think this way. The grace that God extends is extended to all. The other thing that is very interesting is that the older brother then complains, you know, all these years I've been serving you. You know, the father wants to tell the older son, it is great that you are serving me all these years, but you are not essentially my servant. You are my son. And all I have is yours, and I'm always with you. You know how sometimes we think that we have always been serving God, we see ourselves as God's servants, but we have forgotten that we are God's sons. That besides serving Him, we are to enjoy our relationship with Him and the privileges we have as His children. And this is the message for all of us at church, that we can miss it if we fail to grow in our relationship with God. Because the relationship with God is at the heart of life's fullness. It's not just about praying to receive Christ. The big danger for many Christians today is, oh, I've prayed to receive Christ. I'm a Christian already. I'm fine. Oh, I've been going to church every week. I'm baptized. I'm fine. In fact, I serve every week at church. I'm totally fine. I'm not like some others, you know? Well, we forget that the essence to life's joy and fullness is to enjoy our relationship with the Father. We can be serving Him, but we could still miss it if we think that all we are is we are His servants, and we forget that we are His sons. The Lord must shape, influence our views, must take a center stage in our life, so much so that our lives revolve around Him. Failing to see that makes us like the older brother. You can still be there in church and miss the joy that a son has with the Father. So my encouragement to all of us who have been in church for many years is to reflect on what our relationship with God is like. Because that really is the heart of life's fullness. You know, we begin this morning, my friends, with how all of us seek to live the life. But for some of us, living the life means living it the way we want. Nothing to do with God. Our definition of living the life is to leave the Father. But that is not how life ought to be. Because when we do that, we are creating God-shaped holes in our lives. You will find always that something is missing. So Jesus came. Jesus came, He died on a cross. Jesus came, He was risen again, so that you and I can now be with the Father. We can live the newness in life. And so the challenge this morning for those of us who are friends, maybe coming to church for the first time, maybe God's word to you this morning, it's time to return to the Father. It's time to take your first step to begin your journey back to be with God. But for those of us who have been in church for many years, today's message is also relevant for us, that the fullness of life is in our relationship with God. Are you enjoying it? Are you relating with the Father? Or do you just see yourself as His servant? And may God's word speak to us this morning, whether you are one who have not yet come to know Jesus, or for some of us who have already been a Christian for many years, whether it's time for us to return to God or whether it's time for us to enjoy our relationship with the Father. Let us pray together. Father, we thank You for our Lord Jesus Christ, who came, died on a cross, and risen again, so that today we can live the life. Father, I pray for all who are here this morning and those who are listening online, that if there be some in our midst who have not yet come to know Jesus, who finds that there is leakages and a hole in their life, that something is missing, that Father, You will speak to their hearts to see that this hole may just be a relationship with You. Father, I pray that as You speak to their hearts, You will challenge them not just to come to an awareness or knowledge, not just to come to a realization and acknowledgement of their sin, but to make a decision and to take the first step in their journey back to You. Father, I pray for all of us who are Christians, who have been in church for many years, who may think that we are okay because we have prayed to receive Jesus, but may still feel that we are not living our Christian life with that joy and with a sense of fulfillment. May today's message remind us that the heart of it is in our relationship with You. That if we are to enjoy and live the life, we have to always commune and be in connection with You. So Father, we pray that for those who need to return to You, You will lead them to Yourself. And for the rest of us, may we grow in our relationship with You. For we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.